Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
So I see where Belinda Carlisle is going to pose for Playboy magazine. And Belinda Carlisle from the Go-Go's is now 42 years old. If you remember, like I remember the Go-Go's, Belinda Carlisle used to be 22 years old. Now she's 42. But that's fine. And I saw that. I thought, boy, you know, I don't know if I'm unique, but I'll just say this. Women my age, I'm 48, and I got no problem saying how old I am. I got no problem with that, you know. People are afraid of saying how old they are. They somehow feel they've lost touch. I got nothing to lose touch from, man. You got to stay in touch with me. That's the way I got to feel it. I mean, that's the way I have to do this show anyway. When I leave here, then, of course, I feel lost. But when I'm on the air, I figure this is the show you got to, everybody got to stay in touch with. I don't have to stay in touch with nothing that I don't want to stay in touch with. And that's why, in a very literate way, and I'm very happy I put it that way. Didn't I sound educated there? I don't have to stay in touch with nothing that man don't want to stay in touch with me. Let's get back to Belinda Carlisle, okay? That she, at 42, I can't wait to see her. Because I'm a guy in his 40s who thinks women in their 40s are beautiful. Now, you start with the fact that I have a wife who's in her 40s, who's very beautiful. But women, the older they get, in my opinion, get sexier, get better looking. I don't know what it is. You can call it character if you want. It's kind of the female version of developing character. But there is a sexual quality about a woman who, the older she gets, it gets more pronounced. And younger guys know this. Just as older men are attracted to younger women, the guys that are out of the loop when it comes to older women are the older guys. They don't ever really see. They see a woman their own age, and I guess they think, well, I've done that. Jeez, she reminds me of my failures and my impotence, you know. I see a woman, it's all down. Nothing works down there. Because you have that wife who's in her 40s, too, and she looks at you in a very caring way, wringing her hands and saying, maybe hydraulics, honey. I don't know. Can't they put a shot into it? Anyway, so it's fine with me. And my whole life, I was always dating women older than me. When I was in my 20s, I was 25. I had a 34-year-old girlfriend, and when I was 20, I don't think I'm talking out of school here. It was so many years ago. If the kids are listening, well, you just keep right on listening, kids. No, just turn the radio off now, okay? Otherwise, I'll beat you. When I get home, I'm beating with my belt. I'm wearing the big, thick brown one, okay? And when I was 22, I had an affair with a woman who was 47. Now, I'm not saying any of this to say that I'm stud muffin on parade here. I'm just saying this is my life, and I was attracted to older women. Still am. Why, right now I have my eye on an 83-year-old who I think would just... No, I'm just kidding. So Belinda Carlisle posing for Playboy sounds like a home run to me, you know, because Playboy magazine has, in my opinion, and it's just my humble opinion, and nobody's going to listen to it anyway, but I might as well, as long as I got the 50,000 watts, I might as well use them. Playboy's gotten so increasingly out of touch as to what really is not so much beautiful, but what's real. Those women in that magazine, I haven't read it in a while. Mike, I know you've got it posted to your refrigerator. Can you tell me, Mike, I know you've got a few in your bathroom. Do you, have you noticed at all that the women in that magazine, increasingly enhanced as they are, you might as well just be pulling it to a Barbie doll. You might as well just grab it, just hold it there, and just, okay. Because, in other words, she might as well be made out of plastic, am I right? In other words, they don't look real, and even with the airbrushing, just exactly what are you trying to pull over there, Hefner? Just get a real woman there, would be fine. You don't have to air... What do you think our standards are out here, anyway? Or are these your standards? You can't even find a woman beautiful enough. Now you got to airbrush half of her ass off, enhance her surgically, put the makeup on her face till she doesn't look anything like she really does. Because I was over at that mansion once. Not that anybody's going to let me in there now, but I was actually over there once getting some pictures taken back when I was trying to be a commercial actor. Back when I thought I was trying everything at one time in my life to somehow try to put a couple of nickels together. And this is, I was putting a composite together. Well, the person was taking my picture. She was, I guess she had an in over there. She said, let's go over to the mansion and I can have your picture taken in the cabana. Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll see you there. Right. I pull up. Haven't I told the story? I pull up at the Rock. There's a Rock outside the Playboy Mansion with a little speaker in it. And this was back in 1985, so I guess now everybody's got this crap, you know, the speaker in a Rock thing. You know, the Hi, I'm here. I'm Phil Hendry. I'm here to, and the gate opens up, drove right in, parked the car. I'm doing the sound effects in case you don't know that I was in a car that the gate opened. And I parked the car, and then a girl came looking up at me. No, then I go, I knock on the door, and I walk, and there's a butler there, and a guy had a red vest. And I'm here to see Allison. He says, oh, yes, sir, come right in. Or it might have been more like, yes, sir, come right in. I don't know what it was, but he said, come on in. And then you sit down, and would you like some orange juice or some breakfast? No, geez, thank you, but no, I'm fine. I'll take a Diet Coke if you got it. Sure, okay. That was like breakfast. I'm thinking, God, you know, I would love to have breakfast, but I would feel like I'm imposing somehow, even though the place is 85 billion square feet and they got kitchens coming out of their rear ends. They got a freaking kitchen for the flamingos. So the guy brings me the Coke, and I'm sitting there, and at this table, there's four or five of these really good-looking women. And I don't know what they are, bunnies or playmates or play bunnies or mating bunnies. So they're there, and because there's a playmate and there's a bunny, and I don't know what the hell the difference is, but the bunny, I think, pushes cocktails, and a playmate makes like a $500,000 a year. So they're all there at the table, and suddenly I realize these women are talking to me and asking me about my life and asking me about myself, and I realize that it really wasn't so much that they were being nice. It was that they probably figured any guy that walks in here is connected somehow to Hef, and therefore he's got to have some kind of bread or power or position. So he must be a man to know. And that's when they said, well, who are you? And I said, I'm Gary Oldman. Maybe you've seen me in some movies. And we talked, and one of them said, I hit my head on the coping at the pool. Hef won't let me go home to Texas. I was going to go to Houston.
Uh-huh.
But I'm going to stay, and it's wow. So can I do anything for you? You take your pants off?
No, I got to go get my pictures taken. Thank you. So I split, and I went outside. Anyway, these girls are going to the cabana there to tan, and they had these tanning beds.
And they're all, these women are walking by me. If you look at Playboy, you look at a Playboy centerfold, don't they all look like they're about 6 feet tall? They're like 5'3". They're real plain in the face. I don't mean to be cruel, but they're not gorgeous. The face is kind of plain. And take the makeup off, and half of them weren't wearing any makeup because they'd just come out of the pool. And it was just, they were regular girls, okay? Just any chick like who lived next door to you and happened to have 48-inch chest. But it's just like the girl next door with her 83-inch triple Fs. You know, you look like a girl I can really get to know. You're just like everybody else with your 45.
Can I get you breakfast?
Yeah, I'll take some rye toast with a half a grapefruit and, oh, well. And anyway, that was that whole trip. And you look at Playboy, and to me, they look like they are made out of plastic. So Belinda Carlisle being in there, unless she's had some work done, is going to be a... I know that we'll all be running. I'll be the only guy buying that issue, I know. Schaefer was making fun of it. How dare you? And they're Valley Girls, I think, aren't they? Them, or is it the Bangles? And when are they going to appear nude? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show, we'll go to some of your phone calls now. Roy, hi. Roy, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Okay, where is he? Roy?
Yes, sir. How are you?
Good.
Oh, hi. Is this Phil?
Yes, sir. How are you, Phil? This is Phil. You're Roy, right?
Yeah, I'm Roy. And first of all, I want to thank you very much for your program. And I'm a big fan of it. I haul freight, and I do that on a continuous basis. I haven't been home, I'd say, in 6 months.
Really?
That's right.
Just always hauling freight back and forth?
That is correct. And I may never get home. I'll just continue to haul things until there's nothing left to haul, and then by then my wife might have sold the house. So until then...
Well, at least you're calling your house?
Come again?
Are you in touch with your wife?
Oh, sure. She still lives where we... the last time I saw her, she's still in the house that I slept in.
Well, what can I do for you?
Oh, well, I called up because I must say I do take exception to some of the comments you made about Playboy magazine. I do believe, Phil, that I represent millions of American men who use Playboy as a masturbation aid. And the-
okay, Roy, can you...
Good, let's say...
Hold on. If you do you want to talk about that, maybe use some idiom or euphemism so that we're not getting into any trouble, okay?
I'm sorry, you broke up there.
I said if you're going to say that you use Playboy for that, say it a different way.
Okay, I didn't hear... I think what I got was you don't want me saying masturbate...
Will you please... What I'm asking you... Are you... Can you hear me?
You're breaking up. I'm coming over the ridge. I'm near middle of America, which is the truck stop.
That's really great, man. Just don't say that word, okay? Okay?
All right, now, say that again, because...
Look it, pal, I... 1-800-449-8686. Hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Oh, there, you back?
Yeah, I'm back. I believe you put me on hold.
Okay. Don't say that word.
All right, now, the producer told me not to say the...
Don't say it.
Can I say I pull it or yank it or anything like that?
Well, look, it. You represent millions of American men who use Playboy for self-gratification.
I do?
Yeah, that's why you called me.
All right. Well, I do, and that's exactly what I said, and then we got in my car and drove off.
When?
When I got married.
Okay, Mike, good job on that. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go to another car phone. Hi, who's this? Estelle, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello, Phil. How are you?
Great.
I'm also a big fan of your program. I listened to the comments you made about Belinda Carlisle. I also think she's very sexy. She's very lovely. But I'm a woman. And so I don't really want to get too far into any kind of psychic drama with that. I will tell you that my husband has used Playboy for a number of years for a lot of different reasons. He beat our dog with it once. I think he's actually used it for the reason the self-pulling.
And the self-pulling?
Yes. And has also at times sopped oil up on the floor. Now, he used to hang the centerfolds in the garage, and that was all very well, and had me dressed that way occasionally. And sometimes he dressed that way. I think that having Belinda Carlisle as a centerfold... And
sometimes your husband dressed like that.
Like some of the models in Playboy, right. It's all very wrong. I'm so, so sorry I married him. But I couldn't help but overhear what you were saying. I think you really underrate the American man. The Barbie doll, even though it's made out of plastic, really does it in a pinch.
Okay. So what I'm trying to say here is, will you screen the calls? Just screen them, man. Screen them, baby. Screen them. Okay, let me go over here. We got another caller. This gentleman is from, I think, Pottsville. Is that correct? And Herm, how old are you, man?
Oh, I'm not young, Phil. I'm 74. And I wonder if you'd seen the story about the 101-year-old man who had become the oldest golfer to make a hole-in-one, acing a par 3, 16th hole at Deerfield Country Club.
Are you reading that?
I'm right in front of me. Harold Stilson. And
but you're 74. You golf?
You bet I do. I'm out every day, and I shot...
Did you play today?
You bet I did.
What did you shoot?
I'm trying to remember. I know I had a... took a par. I had a birdie. I had a double bogey. I had a eagle. I had a... what's that come to?
I don't know. A par? What? I don't know what course it is, okay?
I'd have to look at the card, but I know I played. I'm sure that I played golf today. And
you're sure that you played golf today? What did you score? Never mind. So this 101-year-old guy, you know the thing about that, if I could offer an opinion?
You bet.
Okay. They're always telling me about these old cats that are getting holes in one and all of that, and, you know, it just makes me feel like less of a man.
Well, you shouldn't do that because, you see, he's got all the time in the world to learn how to play golf. and to play golf. And you have to do a job if you with that you would do that, whatever that is. And he can do it all the time, you see. So he can have himself a ball playing golf, hooting it up with all of his friends. Now, if you bring a nurse, and generally that's what I have to do, a woman who is, and she's Cuban, the lady who follows me around. Now, I was in the supermarket. I asked her for a plastic bag, and I tried to pull it down over my own head. And
why?
Well, I was just so upset. I didn't want to live anymore.
Are you upset? Are you depressed?
No, not really. I just didn't want, I didn't like being with her. They have her follow me around because I have a incontinence problem. I've also certainly need, but I wanted to just do it, right? I wanted to pop my cork in the produce section, so I pulled a plastic bag down over my head.
Yeah, okay. Well, listen, good luck to you.
You think there's a crank call?
Yes, I do. So that guy was saying, what was he saying? That, you see, when the guy comes on the radio and he's going to say something to me, he should have already said it to you. And what was he saying to you? Something about wanting to kill himself in the produce section? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Let's go back to car phone. Hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil, this is a wonderful show. This is Little Bernie. I'm calling you from Tamarack, Florida.
How are you?
I'm good, you're better. This is a wonderful show. Hey, Phil, can you tell me about a program you did a couple of weeks ago with the gal? She's some kind of a homeowners association?
Yeah, Bobby Dooley.
Okay. Now, can you tell me about the program? This gal wanted to cut the throat of a sheep and smear herself with the blood. Can you?
Yeah, that was, they were doing a show about Easter, and apparently this is their Christian ritual of
animal sacrifice?
Yeah.
Do you have a number on her that I can...
Well, what would you want to call her for?
Well, you know, that's a good question. But ever since I heard that program, I've been toying with the idea. And we've got about six people right now who are part of a regular card game. And then my wife, of course, has a pinochle tournament that she does. And we want to put the whole thing together. And
well, what do you guys... The guys play poker.
Guys play poker. The ladies play pinochle. And our idea was to put both those groups together and form some kind of a Santeria cult or something. I just want to do something different, okay? We're all retired people, and if we could...
What, slit the throat of a sheep?
Just eviscerate a sheep in the backyard. I think that's something a lot of seniors would enjoy. Now, we can pound on drums and wear next to nothing. And this is a deal that I think is going to regenerate a lot of people. So if you had a number on her...
What are you talking about, man? Animal sacrifice for regenerating the interest in people who... Senior citizens who are bored? I just had a guy saying that he was so bored he wanted to pull a plastic bag down over his head in the produce section at a supermarket.
Well, look, I can tell you're upset.
Well, I don't understand that this guy wants to kill himself and you want an animal sacrifice, put your pinochle and your poker group together. What are you guys talking about? Is it religious?
No, I don't think so. I think it was just a curiosity that we had. But you know what? You can go straight to hell.
Well, all right, man. I mean, what is wrong with me asking a question? Why couldn't you give her the number? Him, her, the number? Why couldn't you give him her number? Instead of me having to deal with this guy wanting a number on Bobby Dooley so he can put his poker and pinochle group together for an animal sacrifice ritual. What are you doing to me, man? 1-800-449-8686. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead. Go ahead, sir. You're on the air.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
I'm calling back, Phil. I thought you hung up on me.
Who's this, Ray?
You bet.
Okay, so what's the story, Ray? What is this about the...
Well, I represent millions of American men, and I won't use the word, but we regularly pull, yank, whatever you want to call it, to Playboy magazine. Now, I do believe the magazine is good. I don't think Ronnie Spector posing nude is such a great idea.
It ain't Ronnie Spector, it's Belinda Carlisle.
Well, what's the difference, for Christ's sake? And the other thing, if they ever get Della Reese in there, I'm going to...
Okay, thanks. Okay, Mike, so that's the end of the phone calls for today. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show, and don't forget our number one rated Phil Hendry Show CD and picture disc vinyl, 877-616-7445.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm going to be in San Diego for their Sky Show. You ever seen the Sky Show they have down there? KGB-FM puts on a Sky Show. Every year, 20 years they've been doing this. They're the biggest fireworks display in the world. They like back a, I don't know if they get that like a some kind of 10-wheeler loaded with explosives, and they just back it right into that stadium they got down there, and then they light it and they run. And they pack that joint in for this fireworks display. It's a great thing about San Diego. They get excited about fireworks, you know? Yeah, they, anything like that up here, any, I don't know. Fireworks are cool. I dig fireworks to a point, and then after a while I want it to end. Now, not that they're all really long shows or anything. You know, fireworks will go on for, what do you figure, 15 minutes? And I was at this concert last year at Dodger Stadium. It was a music concert, and they did fireworks to the end of the show. And I guess maybe I was tired. I don't know. I just kept waiting for it to end. And I kept waiting for the, okay. Looking at the various things that are exploding and stuff. And then, I could, you know, back in the day when you could get your own fireworks, because the 4th of July is, you know, it's a couple of months off. And we used to get excited about going out to the old Red Devil stand and getting yourself a block party or something, but not since some kid lit his face on fire or whatever he did. Some guy dropped a cigarette in a Red Devil stand, or someone, I don't know which one it was, I don't want to impugn any fine fireworks company, but at least where we live, you can't shoot off fireworks anymore because someone lit a cigarette, flicked a cigar butt, poured some gasoline, did something, decided, hey, if we lit all of these fireworks, what do you think would happen? Well, 4 to 5 degree burns on your face. Yeah? Let's do it. Okay. You'll look like the Phantom of the Opera when they finally pull you out of surgery. Really? Let's go for it. Okay. You're on, babe. And so we don't have the cool stuff, you know? And remember the great days when you get a block party? Those are those big Red Devil block parties, and they had Roman candles, and they had fountains, and they had sparklers, and they had pinwheels, and they had those Piccolo Pete's, which you always knew it was the 4th of July because somewhere on the street, some kid lit one off at noon, not at night, or like 2 days before, so you'd hear that sound. Or the guys that would take the pliers and they put a little pinch right in the bottom of the Piccolo Pete so it would blow up at the end. Yeah, Schaefer's one of those guys. And, of course, then you'd go out onto the street with your block party and you'd light the pinwheel or the fountain and somehow it would tip over and slide under a parked car. And that was neat. Those were the memorable things. And you wind up looking like Freddy Krueger. And all because some guy running a fireworks display at the end of a pier someplace lit the wrong fuse and like half the pier blew off. That happened in Florida when I was there. I think it was up near Pompano Beach. They were doing fireworks one 4th of July and they blew the freaking pier up. The whole pier just went, you know, it's like in toothpicks. It splinters. They haven't even found a guy. The guy who owned the fireworks thing, he's still missing. They found a shoe and that's all they found, you know, and it's, the whole thing went up. So anyway, we're going to be down at KGB. A lot of you are really a gas, and it'll be on the 15th. And if you can make it, just no matter where you are, just fly in. And you probably won't be able to get tickets because I hear it's sold out. So anyway, I wanted to mention to you guys that there's this cop back east in Pennsylvania, and he is named Mayor Charlie Robertson. And they've charged this cat with murder. And he's the mayor, and this murder is like over 30 years old. It was some black woman who was riding through town in 1969 when they were having riots, race riots in this town, and there were white gangs on patrol, and they were shooting black people, okay? Well, now this mayor, who used to be a cop, has been busted, and this guy is right out of the Bull Connor mold. Now, I know there are people who probably know this man and would tell me that I'm wrong, I'm dead wrong, but allow me the opportunity to just sort of paint the man with a broad brush and almost slander his good name, because I'm doing a talk show, and I don't know him, and by the way, he's charged with murder, and all bets are off, and everything's fair in love and war. The guy is right out of Bull Connor. They were interviewing this cat, and he's, I said white power. But back then, everybody said black power. So what's wrong with white power and black power? Apparently, he's charged with inciting these people into going out and killing black people. Well, this guy is unapologetic. He says he's going to come back and run for mayor. If any of you want to know what it was like back then, there you go. This guy, he's like right out of the, you know, some sort of Buford T. McGee in the heat of the night kind of a, you know, a motorcycle boot wearing guy with the shades and that funny striped pants, that whole cop thing, that Ku Klux Klan slash cop thing. And apparently, according to this guy, he was standing in a park. An affidavit filed in conjunction with the mayor's arraignment. In it, Rick Lynn Nouse, one of five other men charged with the case, told a grand jury that Robertson, a city policeman at the time, gave him ammunition for his .30-06 hunting rifle, instructed him to kill as many N-words as you can. All these guys are all the same. Every time they get charged with one of these race crimes, I don't give a damn. Hell yeah. Did you do it? Yeah, I might have. Or the really courageous, no, I didn't do it, but hell, I would have. I don't give a sweet Jesus. Hell, it's just the way it is down here. And the real problem, of course, all you sumbitches with the cameras. Well, and this guy ain't got no southern accent. This is in Pennsylvania, but it's the same thing. They're interviewing this guy and says, well, what do you think? Well, I didn't do anything wrong, and I'll be back. I'll be back as mayor. It's like right out of Wallace. I'll be back as your governor. I'll be back as mayor, and I don't remember doing it, and I was screaming white power. Court papers charging the first two suspects refer to an unnamed police officer who screamed white power at a rally in the park. The papers say the same officer provided ammunition to at least one of the men who fired on Allen's car and urged commando raids in black neighborhoods. Robertson denies giving away any ammunition or making the commando raid comment, but I did say nigger. No, he didn't say that, but he probably did. Police said Allen, 27, a native of Aiken, South Carolina, and family members had driven into the neighborhood, and oh my God, she was black and she got shot. So now the mayor of this town. All of a sudden, they're bringing these guys out of the woodwork, and everybody's saying, well, why don't you forget it? Look, here's the thing. If we're still hunting Nazis from World War II, these guys are up for grabs. If we're still running around the world trying to find some 89-year-old concentration camp guard who machine-gunned some people, some guy who can't even remember who he is now. Heinrich, the people are here from the Wiesenthal Center. Heinrich.
Yeah?
They're here. What? You are under arrest for murder.
Oh, really?
Yes, you are. You murdered. You got that?
Okay.
All right, he's an idiot. Just take him away. He doesn't even... You're guilty.
That's fine.
You're going to hang you. All right. This guy's... That guy is out of it. Then these guys are totally up for grabs. And people say, well, it happened so long ago. They got to hunt down every one of these scum. You see, you got to turn over the rocks and you got to find out where the bugs, where the rats, where the snakes, where all the scum is crawling out from underneath. And just like any wild dog, any dog that barks and snarls, because this is what these guys do. Clan scumbags like this guy. Hell yeah, I did it. That's right, I'm white power. Isn't that great? Well, just like a rabid barking dog, a snarling dog, you still pull a bullet in it. No problem. You still go ahead and put a slug in it. It barks and it snarls, and it does what a snarling barking dog does. And you still stick a slug in its head. Because that's what you got to do with a wild dog. So as long as we're hunting up all these guys like Heinrich and, you know, this poor, I say poor, I mean, it's hard not to feel sorry. I mean, I hope they take the guy and string him up or whatever they got to do. The guy's like 83. What was this guy from Ohio? He's like a Ukrainian auto worker. I don't remember. Weren't you there? Weren't you wore the swastika? Remember? Hitler, Heil Hitler, you did that whole thing? I don't know. It's a long time ago. Oh, bull crap. You remember. I might have. I joined a club. You joined a club? You had a helmet and a gun and the whole thing? Yes. I remember my friends and I, we went off to camp one year. Camp. Concentration camp. Might have been that. I don't know. Would you have a picnic or something? What are you doing now? I love the New York Yankees. I'm an American all the way. I just, you know, I'm an auto worker, and whatever you guys say is fine. There's a nice sitcom for them to develop, by the way. The Nazi Next Door, you know? Starring Cindy Williams and, well, he's dead. I would say that Werner Klemperer would have been fantastic, you know. Hi, Fritz. How you doing?
Fine.
So anyway, I saw your name in the paper. What'd you say? No, nothing. Never mind. Although they did that with App Pupil, right? So as long as they're hunting those guys up, get the rest of these guys. And I don't care how old they are. I don't care how enfeebled they are. I don't care if they got emphysema. Whatever their problem is, take them, stick them in a cage, hose them off, throw them some red meat, and let's move on with having a couple of kicks around here. And get these guys out of here. Every last freaking Confederate flag waving one of them. And you guys can pump your fist and yell white power all you want. They're going to pull up enough rocks, find enough of you guys, throw you in a cage. That's the end of it. Hear what they're doing with that Aryan Nations compound? They're selling it all. I think they're going to turn it into a mule field. Or they're going to have animals crapping all over it. That sounds good to me. That's what they said. The guy wanted to turn it into a human rights center. Somebody said, why don't you just sell it off to this farmer? He could have his cows crap on it. He said, good. So they're going to do that and, you know, and fireworks. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
So anyway, Mike and I were having a wonderful discussion of good stuff because we were talking about that whole York, Pennsylvania thing when it happened in July of 69. Well, the day before that, they landed on the moon. That was really the cool thing that was going on in the country at that time. When I say cool, even then, it was cool. I mean, even with all the cynicism about the war and all this, I remember people having a good time with that. And of course my old man says to me, why don't you come on over and watch the moon landing? And I went over to the house and he had me painting a freaking garage all day until the yeah, they're landing now, come on off the ladder. Gee, thanks a lot, Dad. I come over and watch the moon landing and have a couple of beers. I was 16, but whatever, have a couple of beers and watch the moon, and while you're there, paint the whole side of the house. So we watch this thing and Mike and I are talking about it, and here's Craig sitting there going, if they really landed on the moon. Well, you get out of here with that, finally. I can't prove that they landed on the moon. I'm just taking it on faith. Landing on the moon is like believing in Jesus. You know, you just take it on faith. Moon landings, God. I can't, there's no way you can prove it. You just have to take it on faith. Think about that. There's only three guys or whoever. How many guys supposedly walked on the moon? Like the 12 apostles, okay? There's 12 guys that absolutely know whether we walked on the moon or not. Everybody else is full of crap. Even Walter Cronkite, even the guys that watched the thing blast off. Sure, it blasted off, and it could have landed about 15 yards down the beach, too. I just take it on faith, as a good Catholic. This I believe in, the Holy Trinity. I believe in the saints. I believe in the miracles. I believe in the moon landing. I don't believe in no Capricorn 1. Thank you. And by the way, where'd they get moon rocks if it was all phony baloney?
You blew my argument.
Yeah, I blew your argument totally to hell, man. Where'd they get the moon rocks if it was phony baloney? What? You mean they just picked them up out in the desert someplace? No, come on. That whole thing, whether we landed on the moon or not, I don't know. You know, I'm going to have to talk to somebody. Even then, you're not going to believe the guy. Are you Alan Shepard? Yeah, well, did we land on the moon? Sure. Okay, all right. That proves it. See, this guy was there. They got the moon rocks. They got it from Tahiti. It's volcanic rock. Who knows? And those things went on tour. You know, the funniest thing about the moon landing that happened, people forget this, so this is very, very funny and very interesting. When the astronauts landed, and the only real moon launch that anybody remembers is Apollo 11, because it was a huge event. It was an international event. When they landed, there were Navy frogmen dropped into the water around the capsule. And the first duty that they were assigned when they got those guys out of the capsule was to scrub them down with disinfectant soap in case they were returning with some kind of a moon virus. Serious as a heart attack, man. They did. And I'm sitting there watching, asking the same question that most kids, you know, would ask. Well, what if it's some kind of a virus that, like, you know, can travel downwind or something, and the lava soap doesn't kill, you know? What if it mutates? What if you put it with soap, it mutates into a creature? Good question, son. Thank you very much for just ruining the moment.
Hey, Dad, do you think they have, like, a moon virus that can mutate?
And then the other thing that's very interesting, they carried a sidearm with them. Why? Why? I'll tell you why. Just in case they met a moon man. You know what I'm saying? That's why. Now, you can't refute those facts. They scrubbed them down in case there was a moon bug, and they took a gun with them just in case some kind of a moon creature came out. You can't refute those facts. And we'll talk more about this tomorrow. This has been Moon Talk, and you're listening, of course, to The Phil Henry Show. And now some bad Led Zeppelin music.
Look, there are thousands and thousands of responsible gun owners in the United States today. And I can't speak for all of them, that's true.
Have you got children?
Yes, I have children.
Have you ever thought about shooting one of their pets to teach them about guns?
Absolutely not. Destructive behavior. In fact, I'd go so far as say self-destructive behavior with you doing the kind of things that you do. If you love those kids, you're not going to traumatize them. You're not going to show them virtually criminal behavior on your own part and then claim that you're trying to teach them how to be responsible. Do you claim that you're teaching your kids to be responsible citizens? Do you think you're doing that?
Yes, I do.
You think you're teaching them to be responsible by your irresponsibility. Is that what you're telling me?
I'm telling you, Ben, that the children will never know what a gun can take away something you love until you blow the brains right out of one of their pets.
I don't want to get personal, but I'm telling you right now, if you're not sick, then you are, without doubt, the most irresponsible person I have ever heard in my life. I'm not kidding you. When you're talking about firearms, and you're talking about something that has the power over life and death, and then you demonstrate the wrong use of it and think that somehow your kids are going to get a positive message
out of it. Well, they got the message that if you mess around with a gun, you can kill something you love, just the same way as when we took my daughter's dolls.
What about teaching your kids firearm safety? Enroll them in the National Rifle Association Firearm Safety Course.
That's something all you rich people can do. All right, we don't have a lot of money, but I will tell you, you can take a child's dolls and run it over with your car and say, look at that.
Oh, for crying out loud. Well, do you know anything about the safe operation of firearms yourself?
Of course I do. I got a
38 caliber. Well, then teach them that. Teach them that which you know.
I did. I showed them this what a 38 can do. And I shot a hole through the girl's Barbie doll. I blew the head right off it.
You're shooting the kid's Barbie doll.
That's right. That is an object of affection to that child.
Well,
that child bonded with that doll and loved the doll. So you take away the thing that the child loves and say, oh, I'm teaching you something good, positive.
Either Barbie's head or hers.
Phil Henry.